Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gumbo Yaya, brought to you by Buku Publishing and Sable Hunter. I'm Debbie Workman, one of your hosts for tonight's show, and I'm happy to introduce my co-host, Lisa Kate. Hey, Lisa, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm good.
You're good. How are things on the West Coast?
We need water.
Do you really?
We need rain here.
And we're under a storm warning. It's so dark here. It's been raining all day. Actually, today's the third day of rain. So I'll send you some.
Oh, please, send me some, because we're in a big, bad situation over here.
Oh, wow.
The fines are
tonight, joining Lisa and myself will be Alexander and Zani. That's J. Rose Alexander and Aurora Zani. They are authors at Buku Publishing, and they will be talking about their latest release. It's a superhero story titled Apathetic Avengers. Later in the hour, we will also be joined by the author of His Boss Lady, Emily Walker. So it's sure to be a fun show tonight with Alexander and Zani. For those of you not familiar with those two authors, they are full of personality. Before we do that, I would like to announce that Buku Publishing does have a 99-cent book available on Amazon. This is from author Isabella Bow. The book is titled Broken, and it's in the Assumption series, and it's book one. Lisa, would you like to give a shout-out or tell me what you've read lately?
I just finished, not too long ago, Rogue from Sable Hunter. And
oh, okay.
It's part of the Sons of Dusty Walker series. And really great book. Typical Sable Hunter. I always love her books. And when I start reading them, I get mad if anybody interrupts me. So, but it was good. It's a sexy story centered around four half-brothers and the women that steal their hearts. And Sable's character name was Rogue, and he's a card player. And there's some interesting scenes in that book. So, if you know anything about Sable Hunter, she gets pretty steamy. So I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
And I love the humor. I haven't had a chance to read Rogue yet, but I love the humor that she always includes in her story. And I'm always telling you need to write a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Maybe she will one day.
And I like her heroines. Her heroine's always somebody that I feel like I can relate to. And I don't think she's written one that I haven't really liked a lot. So that says a lot to me.
That's great. That's a good deal. Yeah. And as you said, that's one of four stories. And Rogue is book four, but they can be read as standalones. You actually don't need to read them in order. But the way they're written, I believe Dylan is book one, and that's by Jody Redford. Then there's Jackson by Randy Alexander, Killian by Desiree Holt, and of course Rogue, as Lisa was just telling you, by Sable Hunter. So, and they're getting really rave reviews, so that's something. Definitely, if you love cowboy romances, this is a series that you definitely want to check out.
Yes.
That's really good.
Yeah. Debbie, let's see.
You know what I've started doing? I've started reading like two books at once. I can't believe I'm doing that. Because, I'm reading the J.R. Ward series, The Black Dagger Brotherhood, which I've been hearing about it for years, and I never bothered. And now I'm so hooked on it. So I just started Lover Unleashed. But
you're
before
over.
That...
Yeah,
and I just finished, but I actually just finished. I'm in the middle of that. I finished my very first college-based story, and that was by Gracie Wilson, The Lonely Girl. I've never really read any college romance, so to speak, and I read The Lonely Girl. I wasn't sure, how I was going to feel about it. I really did like it. I liked it a lot. Of course, I've talked to Gracie about The Lonely Girl, before, And I liked it. And I have The Broken Girl sitting on my Kindle. And I'm going to get to that right after I finish this J.R. Ward book that I'm reading. But it was really good. So if people like that, and it's getting good reviews. I've talked to quite a few reviewers, and they like the depth of the characters. And, you know, everybody seems to be enjoying that story. So if you like college-based stories, and that's a good one to check out. And that's also available on Amazon. So that's two good authors you could check out. We're giving a shout-out to Sable Hunter and Gracie Wilson this week. That's pretty cool.
So what has been your favorite book that you've read so far this year, Debbie?
Oh, man, this year. You know, I don't get to read as much. I'm trying to get better with my reading because, you know, I've been so concentrated on promotions and stuff. So I have been trying to get better. And for this year, I'm really going to say I've really enjoyed, I've read everything that I'm aware of. I've read everything Catherine Rhodes has written. I have read everything. I've read all of The Club Imperial, The Silver Soul, The Passion's Flames, and I just finished her Half Soul. And I'm enjoying those.
Wow.
And I keep begging her for more of The Club Imperial, and I am so enjoying The Black Dagger Brotherhood. So that's
good.
What I'm going to say. How about you, Lisa?
You know, I'm getting things mixed up. I think it was this year that Loving Justice came out from Sable Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, wow. I really liked that book a lot. Probably one of my favorites since Cowboy Heat.
Oh, wow. Really good.
Yeah, that was a really good one. And then I also like author Teresa Gabelman. She writes the Protector series. And it's a vampire series, too. And I just finished reading Slate, and that was really good.
And that's
so
a vampire series?
Yeah, it's a vampire series.
Okay, I've
really
never
good.
Heard of her, so I'll have to check her out.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because
I'm really open. I like pretty much every genre, you know, so I'm really open. And I love the vampires, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And I'm sitting here thinking we're going to have our two guests call us here shortly. And Jay Rose is, I think they're on the air. Let me go ahead and pull in. Welcome to Aurora and Jay Rose Alexander. Are you with us?
Hello.
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 Hello. Hi.
Welcome. Can we start with Aurora really quick? And Aurora, can you... explain your pen name.
Okay. Yes. My pen name is Aurora Zani, and that is not my real name. But it was actually the name of my grandmother, who was, you know, pretty much the most important person in my life for a very long time. And I just kind of write with it. I like the name too and stuff, but like, you know, I like the honor of it.
Right.
Okay.
Because Lisa was like, "Are we calling him Ori or Aurora?" I was like, well, we'll hit that question first.
You can call me Jim. It's fine.
Well, we're glad you're here, both of you.
Yeah.
And congratulations on your new release, Apathetic Avengers. Whose idea was this story?
I think the story was, it's either my response to a Jen joke or Jen's response to one of my jokes. But the
I'm
story
not sure
was,
which way that went anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. This started off as a. I think we had a running gag where, you know, we would pitch each other ridiculous stories, and I think, you know, one of us pitched ones and we're like, you know what, that's not that ridiculous.
I mean, would a teenager really give a crap?
You two go back many years, right? Is that correct?
God, yes.
I'd say 25 years now, maybe not 24.
Oh, wow.
Yes, something like that, yeah.
French class?
Oh, that's pretty
good.
Wow.
No,
wow.
Homeroom,
so
freshman year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really awesome.
So, yeah, we go always back. We've known each other for a few days.
So what inspired you both to collaborate on a book together?
I think
he kind of pinged me one day and said, "Hey, I want to write a book." And I believe that was the beginning of Ellie.
Maybe even be pre that. Okay, it depends. Did I say I want to write a good book or I want to try to write a good? Did I say I want to write a book or a good book? Because there were some terrible things before Ellie.
Oh God, that right.
No, me and Jen had, you know, through various degrees, kept in touch over the years, and more often than not, we talked about writing. You know, Jen's been writing since. I'm sure she's totally will tell you and stuff, but let's say I'll summarize it, a very, very long time. She's
mm-hmm.
always been passionate about writing, and I was always a passionate reader, and I'd written to some shape or form, bits here and there, but never was too serious about it. And, so naturally, since we had talked about literature and writing for so long, when I was getting serious about writing, Jen was one of the first, you know, people I reached out to. So it might have been, hey, I want to write a book that isn't terrible.
Mm-hmm. And how did you make this work? What was the? I mean, how did you do this? How did you both work on this book together?
Yeah. I think we should actually write a pamphlet on how we did it, because I think it's one of the most true and best collaborations there. I mean, it started off with us just before even plotting, just discussing the universe and characters over instant messages. Just as a construct, and little do we know, I think we both had note files behind each other's backs. Just like, yeah, I should write some of this stuff down. And then I remember we discussed it so much and so far, and one of us just wrote something one day. And was like, hey, here, what do you think of this? And the person kind of wrote over that and kept going forward. And, you know, we've written many stories for this series. And while we now people take leads on certain stories and people, you know, own certain stories, let's say, for the most part, that whole system of where one person just writes over the other and back and forth, it's odd because for writers, it's really, really hard to just let go. And then for some reason, this collaboration is where, I guess, because we discussed about it so much. And listen, when you spend 10 minutes arguing over a person's height, you know, you guys are in it together. You're passionate. You know.
As only really good friends can do who have that kind of history.
Well, yeah, that's a thing. But, like, really, it's like we put everything out there beforehand, and we're heavily involved in the entire universe. So I think it came out really well because we gave each other freedom to just work over each other's, you know. And often it was a simple tag off, hey, your turn.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm stuck. Here you go. You do something with it.
That's
happened more than once. And then we actually invented the term buffing a story,
where
I literally just sat down and wrote the whole story without him knowing it, and then handed it off to him, and he went, "What?"
Oh, wow.
And the term buffing came from the fact that it's about the story the bus. In the book. It's their first venture out after the actual introduction.
And it's a wonderful story.
I literally plowed through it one day. So.
But it was great because it's something we had plotted. Yeah, we always plot together. We talk about things together. And she literally could not contain herself. She just went.
I can imagine.
Like, you know, at first I was like, all right, that's nice, but what am I supposed to do? Bus is a story where I think it might have been one of the first and the last stories we worked on for this. It might even be the first and the last story we had completed in this volume.
Uh-huh.
I think you're right.
I mean, because before we completed, it might have been the first story completed because you bust it.
Yes.
But also from the same thing, we kept going back to it, and I think it's that story had a couple of evolutions, and it just, there's so much action in it, and so much. Oh, it's one of my favorite stories. I guess.
That's
awesome.
Well, what made you both want
that story? I think the only other one that we probably revisited more was Ginger, which is in the second volume. So.
Yeah. Well, Ginger, that was a bit of that was mostly my fault because I basically said, okay, let's start this story with just a monkey wrench in the middle of a plot and see what can work around it.
Yeah,
it's that one because it's funny because we started off like immediately we were ambitious. That's one of the first stories we tried working on, and it's a super ambitious story. There's a lot going on, and we started in the middle of the action. So while we wrote, we were setting up the previous volumes and the following volumes. Which is nice because afterwards we used it as an emotional benchmark. Like anytime we were writing a story, we would look at our little timeline and say, okay, where are these characters emotionally in comparison to Ginger?
Is it pre-Ginger? Is it post-Ginger?
It
literally says that on my file, pre-Ginger.
Yeah.
Lisa, I know you have a question.
What made you both want to write about superheroes?
I
love superheroes.
Loves them.
It was such a ridiculous idea.
Yeah. And I thought most superhero stories were flawed. And it's one of those things where I don't know what it is that set me off. But I was looking at something or watching something, I'm like, why do so many superhero things just suck? And Jen fought me on that. And, this was very educational because right after we agreed to do it, I actually started researching, and now I actually collect comic books and really follow superheroes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jen turned me to the dark side.
Okay, for both of you, who is your all-time favorite superhero and why? Jen, let's start with you.
I'm always a proponent of Superman because I feel like I understand him better. And I just enjoy the ridiculousness of it. And even though he can do no wrong, he does wrong all the time. So I guess I'm going to say Superman, although I'll tell you, I really do enjoy Tony Stark now, the Iron Man.
Oh, yeah. I know you do.
You mean, the whiny Marvel Batman?
How about you, Ori? Who's your favorite?
I don't know. I have a feeling that if I gave Jen two guesses, she would nail it, but I'll just say it. My favorite is a character named Stephanie Brown, who was a character called Spoiler and also Batgirl for some time, and she was probably like one of the inspirations for not just female characters in this, but just for I'd say like a more than half of my female characters somehow based in her. So she's just she's just she has no superpowers. She's just bright, sharp, and just full of. It's funny because she's in a part of the comics world which is always so dark and gloomy, and she's just always been a ray of light in it. Positivity.
I'm not real familiar with superheroes, as Jennifer will tell you. I mean, I've shocked her. I'm like, I never saw that. I never saw that one either. The only one I have seen is the Superman, and that was this last one with, what's the guy's name? Jennifer.
Henry Cavill.
Cute guy. Yeah, that's him. So
yeah, Henry Cavill.
That
movie was terrible, but that guy is a good-looking dude. I can't fault him for going to see that movie for him.
Yeah. Ori, if you had one superpower, what would it be?
I already got this genius-level intellect working for me, so... I would just want a Lazarus Pit. Which a Lazarus Pit in comics is in me and Jen's writing world, it's an entirely different meaning. But in comics, it's literally a pit where when someone is dead or dying, you throw them into the pit and they come back to life. So, I want one of those handy instead of a superpower. Does that work?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Jen?
I'm not quite as intellectual as that. I just like to fly.
She loves flyers.
Actually, specifically, it would be more like Sue Storm's ability. She has like kinetic energy ability. She can fly. She can levitate. She can move. She can put an invisible wall around her husband so he doesn't move and has to listen to her. So there's advantages to this.
That's a good choice.
Jennifer,
I love
can you
song.
Give us the synopsis of the Apathetic Avengers?
It's a unwilling group of superheroes. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time as kids, and through a mishapen experiment, one by one they find out they have these weird abilities. And there's a gentleman who decides to bring them together to form a superhero group. And they're both reluctant and apathetic about this. So it takes a little unfortunate convincing to get them so interested in his proposition. But yeah, they slowly come around. So the apathetic Avengers are definitely the tip of this iceberg, because you're only just meeting your main superheroes, your main characters. There are so many villains and other characters that are coming. Ugh. It's incredible. It's really amazing. I mean, one of our favorite stories is Feathers. So many feathers.
So. Sounds like a really fun read.
Yeah.
How many books do you foresee in this faction series?
We are currently slated for 5, including Apathetic Avengers.
Yes.
There will be another one coming out called The Natural Order of Things, and then there will be 3 others after that, and we have working titles for them, but we'll see how that goes.
And I also want to point out that both of us secretly, but not too secretly, started writing things way into the future past this series of the same characters. Like, I'm pretty sure that we've got, and it's great because we haven't really shown all our cards yet. Because, we both have plans for these characters well into, you know, the next 10 years of their fictional lives, at the very least.
Oh wow!
At least 10.
Yeah. And Jen will not let me kill them all, no matter how much I ask.
No.
Do you like killing off characters?
That was her rule number one.
You won't kill my characters.
Yeah. So rule number one, she's like, listen, I know you're Killy McGee, but no death in this. I'm like, whoa. No main characters dying, maybe. And I literally said, what about horrendous scarring? She's like, that's okay.
Oh, goodness. You're both multi-genre authors, but what is your favorite genre to read for pleasure?
Oh, gosh. Paranormal. I'm going to go with
paranormal. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm going to give the simple answer of, I'd have to say, science fiction is one which has the most impact in my life.
Okay. Okay.
Like, when I want to feel something, that's where I go.
Okay. What is each of your pet peeves when it comes to superheroes? You mentioned that, you know, some of them kind of bothered you, so each of you, do you have a pet peeve that really bugs you and you just can't stand?
you want to shoot for who goes first here?
Ori has a list.
Oh, I know both our list.
Go for it.
Well, see, my biggest issue with all superhero things is you know, superheroes being overpowered. And, you know, as much as I love escapism and leaving reality, obviously the second people can do certain things, you're leaving reality. For me, it still needs to exist in this universe. So, you know, it's like if you have Superman without kryptonite, then it's garbage. If you have a vampire without, you know, being able to be destroyed by the sun, you have garbage. Unless they sparkle, that's totally okay, of course. But no, you hear all teasing aside. You get my. Yeah. When things are just too overpowered, where it just entirely moves into a world of fantasy where there is no rhyme or reason to it, that's
kind of where
I kick off.
Okay. Yeah. You can't pull cartoons and start making up new powers as you go along. If you ever watch South Park, Cartman does it all the time whenever they do, like, any kind of role-playing or fantasy. He's like, now I can do this.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
He's like, yes, but I had the Spoon of Destiny in my pocket the whole time. And you're like,
exactly.
No Lazarus pits.
Better than the Sunfork of Destiny, I suppose.
Do you have a favorite scene from the Apathetic Avengers, Jennifer?
Oh, it's the excerpt that I gave you, the excerpt with
okay.
the van. When they're, when they're going, okay. they're trying to get rid of a bomb, and he's like, I didn't know you literally meant we were going for a ride. It's one of my favorite scenes because it's just so, it's just so it needed to happen, you know?
Well, how about you, Ori?
My favorite scene is a lot more selfish. It's a scene where, you know, my favorite character, she's being visited by an FBI agent, and she tries to keep him from going in by first ignoring him, then pretending to only speak Spanish. And then after some argument, she lets him in, and she goes through this impromptu fake tea party around him. It just, it's really funny because she's just being such a brat, and this guy just schools her. Like, it's great because it introduces two characters. They've been pretty introduced, but there's a scene where these two characters are nailed for eternity. Like, you know, it establishes a character, Agent Catton, who he's, you know, one of the biggest things in this whole thing. Also, the very formation of the group is in him and his, just what he is as a person. So this, I think, you know, really brings it out to the front in this part of the story. And Rachel is just a real witch. So she's a pain in the butt. And, you know, in case anyone
literally
had any doubts.
And figuratively.
You know. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Did you have fun writing together? Obviously, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We still will ping each other back and forth with stupid ideas. So.
Yeah. It's one of those things where if I could have, like, you know, a dream type thing come true, like win the lottery, one of the first things that I would want to do is to fund this to become like a TV series and have me and Jen be writers on it and just really fully, it's just a story, it's so big and so expanding. We're so into these characters and what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way we treated it, as if we were being paid, you know, millions by network executives
right.
to get the best possible thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it comes through in the writing, and the story
is
just
fantastic.
Yeah, you put a
lot of heart into your writing.
Yeah, you know, so it was just so great, and it's one of those things where I'm really excited to keep it going.
It's an everyday
occurrence.
You spoke
about putting it on television.
I just pinged him the other day with another line for the story. You know, what's going on here? Justice is going on here. You know, like, I don't know who's going to say it, but it needs to happen, so.
Yeah. I just sent her a bad pun this morning, I think.
I think you did, yes.
I forget. It was a real groan where you're like, oh, I hate myself for laughing at that.
Uh-huh. You spoke
about
television.
Oh, I know
television.
What it was, too.
If,
oh, it was terrible.
If it was going on television, what is one actor or actress for each of you that you would love to have on that series?
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
How we've never thought of this? That's amazing.
I can't believe it. I'm trying to figure out who I would want to play Stanley, and I can't figure out anybody.
But here's the one issue that we do have is all our characters are 16 right now. So it's going to be boring answers to whip out 16-year-old people to do it, because I don't know, you know. But let's say pick three people out of the Disney Channel, three people out of Nickelodeon. They could be the kids.
Uh-huh. Okay.
For Stanley Catton, all right. How about an Adrian Brody?
Oh, he would be awesome. He'd be awesome as Catton.
Yeah.
He would.
What about
Lassard?
Well, Lassard is, man. Because first of all, I still can't tell how old he is.
I don't know.
Somewhere between 40 and 90, he's got to be. And he's so shrouded in secrecy. It's got to be someone who you never, you know, think of an actor you've never really seen their face fully. That's who should play it.
Yeah.
I'm lost in that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, we have a teacher that's so hot that there's no actress who could play her.
Oh, wow. Give me three words describing the other as a writing partner. And Jennifer, let's start with you.
Oh, geez. thorough, inventive, and persistent. I'm going to go with those.
Okay.
Okay, Ori.
Prolific, life-saving, and just talented. That's
yeah. Oh, that's great.
Well,
yeah,
it's funny because when we started off, we had these two writing styles that you figure would clash, but it's amazing how like once we just from our level of commitment, you know how well they move together. And also, I think I see it as a real breaking point in my writing career where I'm embarrassed of everything else I wrote before it. I feel like I really graduated to like a fledgling to a novice writer right after I did this.
Yeah, there's definitely a break because even now, like when we were prepping this to go, I was like, I can't do this anymore. There's too much rewriting.
Yeah. But at least the story is solid. That's rereading them all, I thoroughly enjoyed rereading them. And sitting there, and then it just goes back because I remember just I'd almost as I've forgotten, but like we worked so hard on it. Just having a story with 8 main characters, and at this point maybe 8 important minor characters who get their own place in the mythology, and keeping track of it all, making it all work, and having all the characters mean something.
Cool. Yeah. We have so many secondary characters that are important enough that we have to pay attention to them. They have miles.
Ori, can you tell us about your Heller Park series? Do you plan to write any more books in the series?
Well, I often say no, but I never mean it. So, I mean, not too long ago, I was like, you know what? I had this goal of writing 3 books in a series in 1 year. And it was important for me that they could all be read, either standalones or out of sequence, and all make sense, which, I like, and I got that done. And I was like, all right, let me step away from that. And then I took a small break, and I started writing a book of short stories for the series, which is now developing into one very complicated novel. And a novel within the novel from a previous thing is now, I was trying not to, but now I'm going to actually be working on a fantasy story, like a real a real fun Alice in Wonderland Coraline type story, only with more magical liquor.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me some.
Interesting.
Yes.
And what's next for J. Rose?
Penumbra, which stories? I've got 2 Penumbra stories. They are my big witch werewolf vampire stories. And then right after that, we are going to get back into the superheroes, hopefully by the end of this year, and I'm going to be putting out The Art of Dying and The Art of Living, which actually introduces Canton at a much younger age. And
You answered my question. I was about to interview you for a second, saying, is this in the same universe as Faction?
Yes. But it takes place in 1991-92, and like part of the running gag through the whole story is that she's got a cell phone, but it's one of those bricks. Like the running gag through the whole thing.
In that case, I should send you my beekeeper story then.
Okay.
Just to keep you informed.
You both will be at the Yo Philly author event. Can you share a little bit with us about that?
It's going to be super
fun. It's going to be in Philadelphia on the 16th of this month, which is Saturday. I just got a box of swag. If you find me on Facebook, you'll see my idiot face with one of the masks on.
I can't wait to try one on.
I know. I was like, I got to take this apart, and my husband's laughing at
me. I'm going to have to go over there and look.
And we're going to have copies of the Apathetic Avengers there. I got half of my order today. I'm waiting for the other half of it. I was very upset that it wasn't the Apathetic Avengers half. We'll both be there. We'll have bookmarks. You can get both of us to sign them.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's what I say. Like, you know, here's a chance. Not only is this a free event, which is great, but this is going to be one of the – it's going to be the easiest way for you ever to get that book signed by two people at once.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, what a treat.
Yeah.
Also, I'll sign any of her other books, too, if just if you want to mess them up. I can do that.
Here, sign this. Hey, what? No.
Ori, could you give us your media links and tell the listeners where they can find you?
I am just Aurora Zani at Facebook.com. That's that. And at Twitter, I'm at Aurora Zani. And you can find me there. Also, my, you know, my name is Ori Benavidez, and if you search that anywhere, I pop up, and I welcome anyone to say hi.
Awesome. Very approachable. Jennifer?
I am everywhere at jrosealexander, jrosealexander.com, facebook.com/jrosealexander, Twitter at jrosealexander. It all worked out very nicely because I seem to have gotten everything under there. So I welcome anybody to come and say hi, friend me on my page, say say hello on my on the website. Also, I want to mention that we do actually have a separate website for Faction. So there's more information specifically about the Faction and the Apathetic Avengers.
Awesome.
And that is downingcityfaction.blogspot.com. Because you'll understand why Faction later on.
You mean because of my favorite fictional city of all time?
Yes, Downing City. Downing City in Redbug, Iowa. Welcome.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And if you're ever looking for someone to design a city for you, you can talk to me, but I'm going to send you straight to Jen.
Okay.
You
anything else
design
you
and give you maps.
City, too. Somehow I got suckered into designing yet another city. So.
You didn't have enough to do.
That's the Woodland Creek. That's something else.
You know, I could have you do Heller Park, but it's just that you just mashed together Kearney and Passaic and you got it. But so.
Yeah, there you go. We'll just take New Jersey and hack part of it out. And
right, exactly.
No one's going to miss it.
Awesome. Well, it's been a lot of fun speaking with Alexander and Zani tonight. Thank you both so much for calling in and hanging out with Lisa and myself.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Awesome. Anytime. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was a great conversation.
Yeah. Those two are hysterical together.
Yeah. They are. They are. So we should be having Emily Walker joining us in just a couple of minutes. I don't know where she's at. Oh, gosh. So that was really cool. So I do have Apathetic Avengers, as Jennifer and Aurora said, that is available on Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like a really fun read. And that is rated 12 years of age and up. So that's really cool. So anybody that likes the superheroes, pick it up.
I like the title. The finding the title is great.
Yeah.
That little snarkiness that I like.
And it's funny. I was sitting here looking at one of the editorial reviews that they have on Amazon for the Apathetic mm-hmm. Avengers. And it's from Laura S., and she says, this book is what would happen if Judy Blume decided to write a sci-fi book featuring Batman, Edward Cullen, and Hermione. And, yeah, it sounds weird, but trust me, that it's the best of all worlds. So that's a pretty cool review.
Yeah. Great.
And I'm wondering if Walker has forgotten us. I'm going to give her a couple more minutes.
Okay.
So, what's on your to be read, Lisa?
Gosh. I have a new series that I was going to start, a Bear Shifter series by T.S. Joyce, and it's Hell's Canyon Shifters, which I wanted to. I started reading some of her other books, and they look really good. So I thought, what the heck? Uh-huh. Give it a try.
Yeah.
And let's see. I picked up a couple of free reads here and there. So I just, you know, I find that I discover new authors that way, and it's a lot of fun. So I also have, not new, but Helen Downing's Awaken Hell, which I've heard so many great things about. So I'm going to take the time to sit down and read that.
You know what? I'm really looking forward to reading that, and I would like to have Helen on the show with us one night. You know, one of my reviewers read that. And, I mean, she left such an awesome review, and she sent me many messages over that story, and I contacted Helen to tell Helen about it, and she's got me really wanting to read it. So we're going to have Helen on tonight and, you know, talk to her about that series because people are really loving it.
Yeah, and I've seen some of her teasers, and there's just some really great stuff on there. It sounds really great.
Mm-hmm. Now, you read a lot of short stories. Is that correct?
I'm kind of picky. I like my HEAs, you know, my happily ever afters.
Oh yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I will if it's gonna end on a good note. I pretty much will read the short stories too. Mm-hmm. But I'm, you know, like I said, I'm selective. I'm selective when it comes to that. You know, just but mm-hmm. yeah. I read.
Go ahead.
Jamie Brumfield. I read her Dragon story, and that was really good. That was a shorter story, but I really liked it. Yeah, and I'm hoping she does more in that series.
I believe she's going to. I love the Shifter stories. I have never read a Dragon Shifter before, so that will be interesting. I'm kind of looking forward to that. That'll be different for me. I'm used to the tigers and, you know, the wolves. I've read, like, Christine Feehan and Alicia Sparks and, you know, so I'm used to those type of shifters. I've never read The Dragon, but that's different. And Emily will be here in 1 second. I got to give her our number.
Debbie, when it comes to choosing a book to read, what do you look for? What do you avoid?
You know what I avoid, and you're going to kill me for this, because when I see a book and it has less than 100 pages, I disregard it. I won't even read the description. And I don't. And it's like, gosh, I know Lisa reads these books, but man. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I guess I'm afraid of? I guess when I see a book on Amazon or whatever and it's 50 or 60 pages, I just tend to assume it's probably going to be a cliffhanger. And I don't really care for cliffhangers. I have read books, as I was saying before, with Catherine Rhodes. She has a couple cliffhangers, and you know, it was okay. And they're okay, I guess, if the next book is available. And I know cliffhangers are very popular with authors right now. But I'm like, I do like the happily ever after. And one thing I don't like in a book is, and I'm not going to give a title or book, but I had read this book at one time, and it was the girl had got kidnapped and abused and stuff like that, and she ended up staying with the guy. I found that so disturbing. I don't like books like that. So if I find out it tends to go like that, I'm like, oh, man, I got to get that out of my head.
I get that. I'm the same way when it comes to books. It's just happily ever after, and I don't want any abuse of the heroine, you know, the heroine or the, you know, and I don't like it when it's too mean. You know what I mean? Like when it's just so mean where you go, I would never forgive that jerk for, you know, for that.
Oh, yeah.
In reality, you know, maybe something. Or cheating, I guess. I don't like cheating in a book. That's kind of my
opinion. Okay, and a lot of people, I think, feel that way. They don't like the cheating. See, the cheating, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I've never really paid much attention to the cheating. I mean, it doesn't really, I don't know. I just look at it as part of the story, you know. But,
you're nicer than me.
I need to probably give the short stories a little more of a chance.
Well, you know, I think a good writer can make it pretty good.
I agree. And at this time, I want to welcome the author of Why Yellow Jackets Can't Find the Hole and the latest release from Buku, His Boss Lady, Miss Emily Walker. Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Hi, Emily. Hi.
How are y'all doing?
How are you? I am waiting for a storm, and I'm sure you probably are too, because I think we're on the same side of the country.
Yes, it stormed earlier, and I think it's supposed to start again here in a little bit. I was running outside and kind of got caught in the rain.
Oh, no. So, Lisa, do you want to start?
Sure. Let's see. Can you tell us who or what inspired you to write His Boss Lady?
I can. It's been a little while since I wrote it. This is kind of a re-release, so I have to kind of think back to the beginning of last year. But I kind of just, my stories kind of just randomly form in my mind. And I think that I had just been thinking for some reason. I mean, I work in an office, and, like, I had just been thinking I wanted to do something office romance related, but I wanted it to be different instead of, you know, because there was a lot back then of the CEO, you know, male boss, and lady secretary or lady whatever. So I kind of wanted the woman to actually be the boss.
Yeah.
And it just kind of formed from there.
That's great. Can you give us a brief synopsis of the story?
Sure. Tyler Higgins is a 24-year-old intern at a marketing company. He's supposed to be interning with a male boss, one of the male partners, and the boss is actually Emma, and she is supposed to be getting a female intern because she was just excited to, you know, inspire a lady and all this stuff. But what happened is one of the partners wanted a female intern, so he's basically just traded, and she ended up with Tyler. And then they just kind of they kind of butt heads the entire time. Like, he's very out to prove himself, and he didn't really necessarily want to be taught by a woman. And to begin with, he's kind of against it, but then he starts to kind of come around. And she's against having a man intern because she really wanted to inspire a woman because she had a mentor who did the same for her. But, of course, she starts to come around as well. And then they kind of start to like each other.
Yeah.
And how much input did you have on that cover, Emily?
I had a lot of input on it. She is really awesome. Jennifer Stevens does her covers. She, we actually, you know, had kind of come up with the concept together, and then she just went with it. And then we had a different guy, and my publisher was like, we want, you know, a guy that's really hot because we want this cover to stand out. And I was like, well.
This guy was really good looking.
Yeah. So the final cover, I was like, that's, you know, it's perfect. It looks great. I like it. There was a, I think there was a different lady on it, and I decided that I wanted her to be a little bit less made up, less, you know, because my character is kind of not like that. And the woman that was on the cover before was kind of very different than Emma. So I'm really happy with the way that it turned out.
And you have an excerpt that you're going to share with us?
Yes.
Great.
If I can get my computer to work, because I had pulled it up instead of reading it, which was dumb. Okay. And this is kind of their initial meeting. So.
Okay.
It's loading. Sorry for the delay. Quit. My
That's
dog
okay.
is trying to get me to pet him.
And while that's loading, I'm just going to let the listeners know that all of tonight's books that have been discussed, Apathetic Avengers, His Boss Lady, are available on Amazon, and they are also available as Kindle Unlimited. So if you have a Kindle Unlimited subscription, that's a good way to pick these books up and give these authors a try. Sure, you'll become a fan really quick.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay.
Someone is here to see you, ma'am. Deidre had one of those sickly sweet voices that made you want to strangle her. Motioning behind her, she called someone into the room, and Emma's world stopped for a minute. She could tell the man was younger than she was by a few years, but he was definitely well-built. He made the suit he was wearing look good, with broad shoulders that filled it out perfectly. Standing tall and confident, his presence was overwhelming. He had a sexy aura that radiated off of him and left her speechless. Every part of him screamed out, "I'm a confident man, and you should drape yourself across me like a scarf." Where had that thought come from? Biting her lips, she allowed her eyes to rake over his body and back up to his face. Sandy blonde hair, full lips, and even from her desk she could see he had striking green eyes. His skin held on to the tan summer had given him, even though they were well into fall now. And she might have forgotten to breathe when he parted his lips to speak. Briefly, she thought about how long she would have to lie in the sun to even get that dark. Her pale skin finally held some color now that winter was approaching. She hoped he was a new client, just for her to help market in private. Good Lord, hormones. Calm down.
Wow.
That's a good tease. That's a good tease. I'm going to have to go ahead and get that on my Kindle. And is this going to be a book that stands alone, or is it going to be part of a series?
It's actually going to be part of a series. The woman who introduced them in the beginning is the secretary, and throughout my book she actually has a relationship with one of the partners, and she's going to actually be the main character in the sequel.
Awesome. Huh. That's great news. Awesome. I'm glad I asked that question. And like I said in the intro, you have another book, Why Yellow Jackets Can't Find the Hole.
Yes.
And I know that's a really, that's a wild title. And but you have the second book coming up. It's Honey Something. I know you mentioned
Why Honeybees Don't Like the Sting.
Why Honeybees Don't Like the Sting.
Yes.
Where do these titles come from?
Well, okay, so Why Yellow Jackets Can't Find the Hole is about a purity group, and they are called Yellow Jackets. So it's kind of a play on words in a dirty way, really.
Right.
Same with Why Honeybees Don't Like the Sting, same thing. Women's purity group, different. There's sort of a tie-in, but it could stand alone, but it's also part, you know, it's kind of going along the same lines. Both books are told from about 6 or 7 points of view. So you kind of have like a whole lot of characters in each one, and you have to kind of follow the story of each one, and, you know, throughout the books. And it kind of has like almost a rom-com feel. But the way I actually came up with the first book, which is just bizarre, is I had gotten out of my car and was walking into my house, and I saw a yellow jacket, and it went into its hole, and the book was born.
That easy. See, that amazes me. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you just, wow.
Yeah,
right?
It's weird.
It's like, click.
That's great.
That is awesome, Emily.
Yeah.
Let's see. Did any model or actor inspire the looks for your characters when you were getting your descriptions together?
Not really, actually. I don't really even picture people to begin with. Like, maybe as I'm writing, they kind of take on, like, a certain look, but I never really think, oh, this person's going to look like, a celebrity or anything. I don't really... I just kind of think of the features that I want them to have and then try to make sure that they're not, like, you know, similar to the features of the person that they're going to be involved with.
Right. And, Emily, do you have any upcoming signings or events?
I do not, no. I haven't got into that yet.
Okay.
I do have a review tour coming for His Boss Lady, which is, you know, online, but I'm hoping to get some good blog posts and stuff out to share on my Facebook page and stuff like that with the review tour.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And what's next for you?
I have a book that I just got back from Buku with that I need to do edits for. It's called Julie's Ascent, and it is a kind of young adult paranormal story about a girl who it's kind of complicated to explain, but she passes away in the story, and she goes to the afterlife, and she becomes sort of like a succubus. But my version of succubus are not like sex-driven, like, you know, kill men.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of. Succubus is more of a she just sort of helps people who die pass through her, that kind of thing. So it's my take on succubi and stuff like that, but it's not what normally is written about them. So I'm pretty excited about getting into editing that and getting it out.
Yeah. In fact, I think I've seen that cover. I don't know if it'll be the final cover, but Jen was giving me a sneak peek one night when she was messing around.
I really like the way she did that.
Yeah.
One of the things about the story is she looks different when she becomes a succubus to everybody else, but she's still the way she was when she was alive to herself. So that's what that cover is kind of trying to depict, and I think she did a really good job.
Oh, okay. Emily, what's an average writing day like for you?
Well, I guess an average writing day would have to be through the weekend, because on a normal day, I'm a full-time office manager. So through the week, I work until about 5, and then I go work out, and then I come home and try to get like all my affairs in order, and then I'll write as much as I can before I fall asleep. And I have a few different projects going, so I just kind of have to go with whichever one speaks to me at that moment. And then on the weekend, I have a little bit more freedom, and I kind of, you know, get my coffee and get settled in, and I usually write in my bedroom, but I want to try and get a desk so I can actually sit at a desk and write instead of in my bed or on the couch and stuff.
Emily, could you give us our media? Give us your media link so the listeners can know where to find you.
Sure. The best couple of ways to find me is I love Twitter. I'm at Author E. Walker on Twitter, and then I also have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/EmilyWalkerFans, and I'm trying to do better about posting lots of things on there, but you can also just follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/AuthorEmilyWalker.
Awesome. Great. Lisa?
No, I just wanted to know if, do you have a favorite author that you like to read?
I just have several. Indie, I would have to say Alexia Purdy is my favorite. She's actually a good friend of mine, and she writes kind of young adult fantasy. She has a dark fairy tale series I really enjoy. So anytime she releases a book, I drop everything to read it. Historically, like throughout my life, Robert Heinlein has been my favorite author. So completely different, but science fiction is one of the things that I cannot write, but I love to read. And, you know, I have a bunch of different favorite authors, and I discover new ones all the time. And right now I'm listening to, I think it's pronounced Gillian Flynn. She wrote Gone Girl. I'm listening to Dark Places on audio. So... Mm-hmm. I like the way that she writes. I find it interesting that she can write such unlikable characters.
Yeah. Well, Emily, I want to thank you for joining Lisa and I tonight on Gumbo Yaya. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, and I just want to let the listeners know, if you look Emily Walker up on Amazon, she is also a multi-genre author, and she writes horror stories, too, if that is a genre that you like to read. Is that correct, Emily?
That is right. I do.
All right. And I believe you have a YouTube channel. I can't think of the name. I follow your YouTube channel, but I can't. It's
It's Bows and Nails with an N for
Nails.
And. Yes, it is. Sometimes it's book related, but most of the time it's makeup related.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And we're almost out of time, and I don't want to get cut off, but I do want to thank you for being a guest tonight. And, Lisa, as always, thanks for co-hosting. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.